Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm kind of getting used to the cold weather.
Well, I mean, you should. I mean, we're not that far from Thanksgiving, which is hard to believe. But
I know. In the mornings, it's like 42 or 39.
Oh.
Then afternoons, it's 72. I don't understand.
Now, you love that, though, don't you? With, like, the nice crispness in the morning and then a little bit warm.
No, I like the afternoons. I'll take afternoons.
Oh, you don't like the Christmas.
Yeah, I'm not quite ready for that Christmas.
It's too cold in the morning. Got it.
And you know, my car will start itself, but something happened, it turned itself off.
What?
And now I have to actually go out and start it. But usually you can just push a button and that car will start itself.
And now it just stopped?
Now you have to go and actually open the door and start it.
Oh, that's no good. That's no good. Not if it's like in the 40s in the morning. Something's going to have to happen. Jeez.
I know.
It's like we're living back in the 80s.
It's just not a perfect world.
No, it's not. There's always something. And there's always drama at the Bagby house. And so.
Oh, my gosh, there is always drama.
Even if it's electronic or vehicle related, there's something strange in your neighborhood.
That's right. There's always something that we're not expecting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, at your house, you could be a reality show. You could like literally put cameras up.
You know, the neighbor's pig, when it got out the other day, we couldn't believe we were out chasing a pig. I mean, you know, it looked like the Beverly Hillbillies had come to town.
Are you serious? You were all out chasing a pig.
Everybody was out chasing this pig. We didn't want it to get on the road and get killed right here in front of us.
Wow.
And, you know, we expected the neighbor to say, "You're this most wonderful, wonderful," or something. And they didn't say all that, and that really kind of hurt after we were scrounging for their pig.
And they didn't even say anything?
Well, one of them finally sent a text
and
said thank you. And I expected them to come out of the house, come down the little road and say, "Gosh, we really thank you for saving the pig."
Yeah, you would think. I mean,
I think the pig must have lost favor with them.
I can see.
Maybe they didn't want us to catch him. Maybe they wanted him going down the road.
Yeah. Maybe the pig's family is just low down. If they're going to send a text, maybe he said, "You know, these aren't the people I want to hang out with anyway. I'm out. I'm leaving."
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
The pig was very nice. We just, you know, got his little collar and was pulling him back down the road.
You realize.
And then they finally came out to help us.
Right. Wow. Now, I'm picturing you and everybody else running down the road chasing a pig.
And the little kids were out trying too. Oh. Everybody was out trying to collar this pig.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my gosh. It was just, you know. You never know what's going to happen next.
Wow, boy, you can spring some doozies on at the drop of a hat. Unexpected.
Well, you know, if you lived in a small town like this, I mean, everybody's got a little bit of acreage, and they get these animals, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the other neighbor behind me has goats and different things. Those goats get out all the time, and we're always on our property. We're trying to get them back in, and I don't know how his goats get out, but they do.
Did the pig come over and socialize with the llamas, or was that not even?
No, we kept him from getting that far. He did not get that far.
Because the goats, don't they come over like through the fence and socialize?
Oh, yeah, they come right through the fence and socialize with the llamas and eat their food. That's their deal.
Oh, they eat their food? Oh, no.
Yes, and they'll eat hay. Goats are not particular. They'll eat anything.
Yeah, they eat tin cans if they like. Golly.
Yeah, and they have two donkeys. Sometimes the donkeys get out.
Oh, my word.
I mean, you know, everything comes over to our house.
You know, in every neighborhood when we were growing up, there was always one house where all the kids would go and play and hang out. And it sounds like you're that house, even for animals.
I probably am, if the truth was known.
Jeez. You could sell tickets to people. Hey, come over. The attraction changes every day. Sometimes there's donkeys, sometimes.
But we don't know what day we'll have that attraction. You never know when they're going to come over to our house.
Yeah, it's just it's a surprise, you know.
It is a surprise.
Wow. Oh, my word. You do live a very different life.
I do. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, my goodness. Are you ready for Thanksgiving? Because it's not that far away.
I am ready. I'm done. Everything's being cooked, prepared, and all I have to do is go pick it up.
What about the holiday lights? Are they up already?
No, day after Thanksgiving.
Day after Thanksgiving. All right, so that's scheduled.
Everything will be put up. Lights will be ready to go.
I ask because I remember last year there was some kind of a disaster with the food, and then there was some kind of a disaster with the lights, and somebody had to come out and redo them. And so I was just making sure.
The first guy messed them up real bad. And so we had to call somebody else. They came, took them down, redid them, put them back up. Everything was fine then. You know? They just couldn't get it right the first time.
You know, for someone who's so sophisticated as you, I'm surprised at the problems that you run into.
Well, you know, it's because I'm a busy person.
Oh, that's
and,
true.
Sometimes I don't check everything out because I'm over here in the office doing other things, and I expect people to, you know, be professional and be able to do all this. Now, sometimes they aren't professional.
No.
You know, professional grade.
They're not always up to your standards.
They're not always up to my standards, right?
No.
And let me tell you, the first sign to look for, when you hire a contractor, he shows up and he's not in a pickup with ladders and all kinds of equipment in the back. He shows up with a car and says, "Can I use your ladder?"
Oh.
That's when you know you've been had. You have been had.
No. Did that happen?
You
that
know
happened
that
to
this
you, didn't
is
it?
A flake, a complete flake has come to your house.
Have you been through that? Did that happen to you?
I have. I've
of
been
course.
Through that.
Can I
and
borrow
then
your ladder?
Said Blake says, "I have a tractor. That little bit of tractor work you need done, I can do it." But guess what? In the end, there was no tractor.
What?
I had to rent the tractor, and then I let him drive it for just a little while. I didn't need much done, and here I've got a $600 tractor.
Oh, my word. And he said he had one, but he didn't.
But he didn't really have a tractor.
Well,
it's like he didn't have a ladder. He didn't even have a pickup.
Oh, wow. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Didn't he not realize that, you know, when he said he didn't have a tractor, that at some point it was going to come up and he would find out? I mean, wasn't that kind of obvious?
Well, see, he called me from a tractor place. Since I can't bring my tractor, I've found one here. And then he puts it on me. Of course, you'll have to pay for it.
Oh.
I told you the story right there.
Oh.
This guy was a complete flake.
Oh, my word. Oh, wow. Whew. More life experiences with Faye Bagby.
That's right. If you need some life experience, call me.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
See, now there's another idea for another book that you could put out. Signs to Beware Of. And start with...
Let's say contractors to beware of.
Yes.
I mean, people have told me a lot of stories, but I have a few myself.
Yeah, you do. Oh, my word. All right. So what are some of the big highlights from this week? What's been happening? Tell us some good news.
Okay. Well, what's been happening this week? Let's talk about the police blotter first.
Oh, okay.
We're going to start with that. On October 1st, a little one-year-old boy decided to take himself out for a little stroll. All he had on was a T-shirt, sneakers, and a diaper. The officer spotted the explorer and provided a police escort. And they knocked on doors till they found his family. Grandma was eventually found, and the young adventurer was safely returned home. To his credit, he was a model pedestrian and stayed on the sidewalk.
Very responsible.
Very responsible one-year-old. Can you imagine?
Oh, my word. No, I can't.
And then on October 5th, a neighborhood dust-up over a friendly cat that was wandering all day up and down the street. His name is Jinxie, and he caused a flurry of heated posts on next-door. Neighbors complained the little feline was prowling backyards, and one threatened to trap the cat. The owner fired back online, "Maybe I should shove you in a cage and throw you in a lake." Oh, yeah. And then a caller phoned the police for help, crafting a snappy phone police for help. Said, "This is a non-cat-hating comeback," insisting she loves Jinxie, who's affectionate but guilty of the occasional rabbit snack. She's eating the rabbit.
Oh, my word.
And the neighbor did not like that, wanted something to happen.
Yeah, clearly. This is all in your neighborhood, right?
Yeah. Then on Simmons Road, a caller reported seeing something with two red lights in the ditch, possibly a bicycle who fell. It turns out it was a robotic lawnmower.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And then I like this one. This guy called to complain to the police. He said, wanted to report he was scammed by a foreign female for not paying up on their romantic taxes. He had taxes with the woman, and she wanted money, and he couldn't pay. That's typical, isn't it?
You do. I'm telling you, you have different stories than the rest of us.
Then the parakeet called and said the barn door was open, and wanted the police to come check to see if anybody was in the barn. Of course, there wasn't anybody in the barn.
Of course not.
Somebody just, you know, accidentally left it open.
We had to have the police check for that.
That's right. The police had to check. And then, this is a good one. These people were called to assist a parent after a child refused to go to school. And they were punctuating the protest with door kicking and stomping around the house. The tantrum wasn't at first, apparently. After letting off some steam, the child eventually calmed down and with a little help from officers, agreed to head to school. Yeah. They called the police on the kid.
On the toddler. It's like, yeah. Are you kidding me?
No, this isn't the toddler. This is a kid going to school.
Oh, wow. Like an older kid going to school.
Oh, an older kid that refused to go was stomping his feet and acting ugly.
See, you talk about stomping your feet and kicking stuff. I'm thinking this is like a little kid in like preschool, but no.
No, this is a 10 to 12-year-old that didn't want to go to school, and the mom called the police and said, "Can you get this kid over to the school?" And so they gave her a little help and gave him a little courtesy talk, and he went to school.
Wow.
And he probably didn't do that again after the officers told him what could happen. You know, the truancy laws about you going to school and not being a nuisance to everybody.
Wow. Yeah.
So I think that was a good thing that you called the police. I've never heard of that, though.
Me either. It's a learning opportunity. Wow.
And then we had this 53-year-old woman. And so she calls the police to report that her 38-year-old roommate had bit her. When officers arrived, the man said he was just playing around and didn't mean any harm. Yeah. And the victim said nothing was hurt except her feelings. Now, that's our big police blotter. That's what's going on here in this little town. Serious, serious business.
You add that on top of the chasing the pig thing. And it's...
That's right. We should have reported that we were down there chasing the pig and could an officer come and assist. I'll bet they would have.
I bet they would have. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't believe they're that busy.
Apparently not. Apparently they don't have much to do.
Oh. I don't think they do. And, we don't have any serious crime. Just the people who think they see somebody parked outside. They don't know it's a surveyor. That gets them up in arms. You know, the parent 2 or 3 months ago was waiting outside the house for his little boy. He'd done a sleepover. And the neighbor called the police on him. I mean, we don't have any serious crime here.
No.
It's all just silly stuff.
It is. I mean, it makes me want to move into the neighborhood just for the neighborhood entertainment. I mean, that's better
right.
than TV.
Just to get a little entertainment.
Yeah. There's never a dull moment there. Golly.
There's never a dull moment. It's, the crime is so silly. You know, we don't have any serious crime. I'll say that. And something will pop up. But I haven't seen anything serious.
Well, I hope not. I mean, it's I'm just sitting here trying to imagine all this happening. Like, this is like literal, official government police documented things, and this is what's in the report. I've just never seen anything like it.
That's right. At least when you read our police blotter, there isn't any murders or robberies. I mean, you don't have all that.
No.
You know?
I've
never heard of any place being robbed in this little town. I've never heard of any serious criminal coming here, you know?
How could they?
It's just all silly people calling the police station for silly things.
There's no time for crime because people are busy biting people and stomping and kicking things and all that. It's serious business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they have to call the police to help get your kid to school. I mean, because he's being ugly.
And they did.
Now, in my day, the dad would have taken care of that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
It'd have been about a 5-word deal, and that kid would have walked out that door and went to school.
Oh, yeah. In some cases, there would be no words, just a glare and a glance. And
that's right.
You knew better.
And they'd just point their finger at the door and say, go.
Yeah.
But it's a different time.
It is.
You know, parents are not raising their kids like they used to.
No. Oh, my word.
It's so different, we wouldn't recognize it.
Wow. Your police blotter is better than the Andy Griffith Show.
You know, it does kind of rank on up there, doesn't it?
It could be a sitcom. I'm telling you.
You know, if it'd follow me around for about a month, we could film it, and it would be pretty darn funny.
Oh, yeah. After a month of filming, you'd probably have like 2 seasons worth of shows.
I think so.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the Lalas are good for quite a ways.
Yeah.
You know, they're so interesting.
Between the animals and the people and the police, it's just you got it all covered.
That's right. We got to cover all the things going on.
Whew, wow. I'm going to have to take a minute to I don't know. I'll have to get a beverage.
Digest all that.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot of entertainment in a very short amount of time for one neighborhood.
That's right.
It's a lot.
Well, let's start on some other things.
Yeah, let's
while
do some.
You're thinking about that, let me tell you what policies are available, the situation on them. We've got a lady with cancer, breast cancer. They've given her 34 months, and I don't know if she'll live that long or not. She had breast cancer years ago, but this time it's really serious. And she is down to 111 pounds.
Ooh.
And it has metastasized in other places. So they've given her 24 months. But this is another one of those that went to Mexico.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, everyone that we've done that went to Mexico, they have died. And she's 42 years old.
Oh, wow.
So she's young. I think most of the ones we've done have been in the 40s. We might have one that was 39. And the premium, you're going to love it. It's $540.
Really?
That's an annual premium.
Wow. That's, you don't.
Annual premium.
I mean, that's low. That's very, very low in a good way.
And that's good for like 9 years.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you won't even have that one for that long.
No. Mm-mm. And the profit on this for the prime clients is $174,000.
Really?
That is the gross profit.
And this is open right now? Like, you're filling it now?
It's open right now. It's 30% profit.
Wow.
And where can you make 30%?
I know it. When you get some of those 30 ones, I mean, I know you have your sweet spot that you're always looking for, 18, 24, 30 and through there. But with everything that you've already described and the fact that it's 30 and it's probably going to come in before that, this is a big one. I would almost bet the horse and farm that this one goes pretty quick.
Well, it should because, she's down to 110 pounds and she's 5'8".
Oh, my word.
So that tells you how bad it is. And it's the right breast, and, she went to Tijuana for alternate therapy, and that was January of 25.
Oh, my word.
So it's gotten worse as it goes along because that stuff in Mexico had never helped. I mean, we've done so many that have been to Mexico, it's ridiculous.
You have. You've talked about a lot of them, and every single one ends up going the same way. It always does, and it has been for years and years and years, and it doesn't seem to change. So,
It's in the cervical, it's in the abdomen and pelvis.
Oh, wow!
And so you know that you're not going to survive that with it in that many places.
Yeah, yeah.
And she went through clinical trials. She's done everything.
Really? I would bet that probably goes pretty quick. What's the name of that policy for if people are wondering?
Yes, this lady's name is.
I put you on the spot.
Rebecca Cobie, Cobie.
So it's the Cobie policy then.
It's all the right. Cobie policy, and we're just starting to fill it. As I said, this is going 24 months. And it is metastatic cancer, which means it has moved to two or three places.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And she's been to Mexico, and that tells you the story.
Yeah. That's really all you need to say. I mean, even when, regardless of anything else that's going on, once you start saying they've been to Mexico, how that's going to go. Because it always has. You've got
years. We know
years.
How it's going to come out, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
and
not just
a guess.
And
then the other one we've got is Michael Bello, and it's a six-month policy.
Oh, what? 6 months?
Yes.
Really?
Yep, and they're going to make 7%.
Wow. I mean, that's
good. So it's going to be fast-moving.
Yeah, you'll need to fill that one really quick.
Yeah, because it won't last long.
No.
And he's got leukemia, acute leukemia. And so I don't think it will last long. And we've escrowed for 42 months.
Whoa. Really?
So we've got them covered every way in the world.
Now, this may be a silly question, but if it's a short policy, why escrow for 42 months?
Because there'll be some premium, and we don't want to be out one dime.
Mm.
And then on the fifth year, it goes to zero.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, the premium goes to zero. So then you've got all those years zero, zero, zero.
All right.
We didn't want them to have to pay one dime until it goes to zero, no matter what happened.
All right, cool. So people are more than covered. It sounds like probably a little bit of cushion in there.
A lot of cushion.
Yeah. All right. And both of those are available. You're filling those now, right?
We're filling these now, Monday morning.
Okay. So people should look for an email if they're already an investor. What about new investors? If somebody was to,
this would be perfect for new investors to get their feet wet. They could go in both policies, and still have money with us. So I think these would be a good way to start because the profit's good on both of them. Yeah. You could do a 6 months, you can do a 24 month, and you're covered on premiums. You're covered on everything.
You know, because sometimes I wonder, because we talk about, hey, if you're already an investor, look for your email and we'll get you in this policy. But I wonder if, somebody's like, 45, 50 in through that general area, maybe, 10, 15 years away from retiring. If this, if they've never been in like life settlements before, they don't really know how this works. I wonder if like this is a good time to get in because of the policies that you've got available. Start planning for retirement early, and then by the time they get there in 10 or 15 years or, whatever it is, they've got, a lot of, I guess their portfolio has grown exponentially.
They should have a good nest egg.
Yeah.
Ready for retirement several years.
Yeah.
And these are new policies. They're not like the old policies. The old policies were unstable and unsteady, and these are not. In the last few years, we've got it nailed, and we've got it right.
Yeah.
The LAs weren't as good on the old ones. The LAs nowadays they come in on time. Like the last four, they came in early. So it makes a big difference how you're doing this. So we've got it down now, which we didn't to start with. We trusted people, and now, we verify every little ounce of it.
Well, and then the other thing is, many, many years ago when you were starting out, the data was different. I mean, they didn't have as much information to go on. And as years have gone by, they've been able to collect more information, refine some of the LEs, things to look for, different things like that, which has made the data itself a lot more, accurate.
Say reliable.
Reliable. Okay, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, and so
and a long time ago it was a lot different ballgame.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We've changed everything. We're using North Star now to get the policies when they die. I mean, they're quick. We get the death certificates a lot quicker than we used to, and they keep up with all the premium. They do a lot of work for us, and it's a lot more reliable situation.
So then let me ask you this. What would be a good, because I know we've talked about how you have a number of investors who have been in several policies consistently for many years. What would be a good age? And I'm trying to think of and the reason I'm asking is because how far in advance should people plan before they retire? So these people who have been with you for years and years and years, been in 10, 15, 20, 30 policies, at any given moment, obviously their portfolio has grown exponentially and they're, set up great. What age range, generally speaking, should people consider starting a conservative investment like this in order to build up?
I would start at 45 if it was me.
Okay.
I'd start way young.
All
because
right.
The world's kind of precarious right now. You just don't know how it's going to come out.
That's a nice
way
to put it.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure people are nobody really knows to what's going on. Do you look left? Do you look right? What's happening? We're in uncharted territory.
These young people can't even buy a house till they're 40. I've never heard of such.
Really?
I bought my first house at 21, I think.
Yeah. Wow,
and
times have changed.
Most people did. And the payments on a house way, way, way back were 100 and something a month.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. House payment, I think, was $165.
Yeah. I remember houses that they were like 190,000, 16,000, I think, is what they were back in the 60s, 16, 18, 20,000-ish. And now you're looking at $1 million for a teardown. It's just,
that's ridiculous.
It is. It's gotten crazy. So, you know, and so I'm just trying to think, you know, because we always talk about how it's never too late really to get started. If you're, you know, 60, you know, you're looking at retirement, you know, in a few years, plan ahead. But it might be a good idea, especially with the way that things are now. There is a lot of uncertainty. You know, people look at the stock market and they see what's going on, but they're also sleeping, I think, from everything that I read, they're sleeping with one eye open because whatever goes up, we know must come down. And at some point, when this comes down, it's probably going to come down pretty hard. I mean, planning for retirement is not something you want to get too risky with. I know a lot of people have made money in the stock market, but I'm also hearing that people are getting a little bit nervous. And so moving over to a more conservative investment, like a life settlement, might be a good way to do it. And starting when you're, what did you say, 45-ish would be generally a good time to start?
Yes, I think that would be a good idea. And as I said, the new type policies, the premiums can't go skyrocket. They can't go way up like the old ones could. So you've got that reliability factor now.
Yeah.
It's just not like it used to be. It's changed a lot in the last few years.
It really has. You know, you have a lot of information now that you didn't even have several years ago. I mean, look at how
That's
much
right.
things have changed.
And a lot of things about the policy we couldn't find out, and now we can.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you don't find this much information. It just seems like things are getting so much better, so much faster than they used to. It's like 20 years of advancements happening in like 6 months now. It's just, especially with, you know, AI and all the other technology that's being brought into the field. It just seems like data is getting so much more flooded and so much more is available to analyze than it ever was before. And so the progress is really much more rapid than it ever used to be. So for people
we have to be a little careful of AI. It can take over us.
Oh, yeah.
And it can use our voice. It can use everything about us and fool people, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's already doing a little damage to people.
It is.
It's good in some instances. But it's something we really need to watch.
It's pretty scary. But as far as like analyzing these, you're not like dumping anything into a machine or an algorithm or anything like that. You look at them personally with your own two eyes. You read all the documentation as a human being. You interpret it. You understand it. You analyze it. And then if it's not even a good policy, you don't even bother bidding on it. There's a lot that you throw away. So
there's a lot we've turned down in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the summer, there were no policies.
No
policies were available. So people should take advantage now. We finally have policies, and the premiums are great on it. The LA is good on it. They're very lengthy. They tell us everything we need to know. So now would be a good time to get in these new policies that we've just got because the profit is good.
Yeah. Yeah, these are really, really good. The premiums are fantastic, like you were talking about. Now, these are the two new policies that you just got. There was one, I think, if memory serves me right, from last week that you were you filling one of the, because I think you got four.
Yes, we have one that still has a few spots in it.
Okay. And either one of these, you know, whether it's the two new ones or this fourth one that you're filling right now, these are excellent opportunities even for new investors to come in. So what about?
I think they'd be perfect for new investors because you've got one that's real short and then one medium and then another medium.
So explain just in a really simple way for somebody who's never done this before and is thinking about it, what makes a life settlement such a great investment and why is this, you know, something that people should really think
well,
about?
Well, it's because it's with a life insurance company. It's an investment in a life insurance policy. And so it's got a lot safer because it is. You don't have the risk of the stock market. Like your stocks go up and down. We've paid out $200 million so far, so we know it's a pretty good investment. And we've cured a lot of the old problems that we had with policies. So now I think you can rely on the new policies completely, 100%. They'll do what they say they'll do. The policy, if it's 25 months, it's probably going to come in real close to that. The four that just matured, they came in early. I mean, three of them came in early. The fourth one was probably 12 months, 6 months over. So now's the time to invest in some quality policies to make some good interest and have it available at retirement. Or if you're getting ready for retirement, it'd be a good time to make this type of investment. Either way, it'll work. The companies are reliable. They're huge companies, $60 billion and up. We use a trustee for all your money. The money goes to Nevada Trust, and then they oversee it. When a person dies, they get the money and they put it in your account.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty good system.
It's pretty streamlined. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. The other thing is that you're also dealing with the trustee. You're also dealing with a life insurance company. So we know that the if every policy was to mature today, they would have the resources on hand to pay them out or close to it or something like that. You
they
should
would
probably
have
fix
the money
that.
Because they have to keep a tremendous amount ready at all times. Because they know how many policies they've written. They know what the liability is.
Yeah.
Then they know what percentage is going to happen every year. They do algorithms for all this. So they know how to figure it.
Yeah.
So it's very sophisticated. It's not like it used to be. This isn't done by hand.
No. And before anybody even buys the policy, you've got it already mapped out. So when the policy matures, it's a very streamlined process. What happens from the day a policy matures till when people get paid? What's that look like?
Then the company that handles this for us, they write off for the death certificate either from the funeral home or the family. And it used to take a couple of months. Now it's very fast. We usually get the death certificate back in 3 to 4 weeks. So they're a lot faster. They're very sophisticated. They've been doing this a long time. So get the death certificate back. They send it to Nevada Trust, and then they send it to the life company, then they pay.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy. It's streamlined. It's mapped out. Nobody's wondering, oh, gosh, where's the money? Nobody's wondering, oh, gosh, who do we send this to? We'll figure it out later. It's already done, which is one of the things that helps, I guess, streamline the payout process and gets people paid faster, is that it's already, I guess, laid out. And so you just basically go through the steps, boom, 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 and then people get paid.
That's right.
So.
It's all... very sophisticated. Everybody does their job, and it works.
Yeah. So if life settlements are, that's one option for people to go to when it comes to conservative investments. The other thing that we talk about is annuities. Are those, are the bonuses still in place? Or, because I know
okay,
that...
Okay, the bonus for 16% will end on December 4th.
Oh.
It'll go back down to 14.
Okay.
We've been notified of that. So we lose the 16% after the 4th. So if anybody wants the 16%, they have to do it before December the 4th.
Okay. Well, that's a new development then. That's good to know. So they actually have a date. Because I know that they were saying that it could go down at any time. They weren't really sure. That was their official thing like last week or the week before. So now, what, December 4th is the switchover date?
It will revert back down to 14. And we don't know then how long the 14 will be good. They said they had a lot of people in the field ask them not to get rid of the 14. So they're going to have it a while, but I don't know. Apparently they didn't have the 16 bound because they said that's it.
Hmm. Yeah. All right.
It's
so
going down.
Now we got an actual date. So anybody that's looking to get in and take advantage of this 16%, go ahead and start making a move. You got a couple weeks left. Keep in mind, somewhere in the middle of that is Thanksgiving. And so you don't want to get caught up with, oh, I missed it because there's 4 days, long weekend, blah, blah, blah. Keep that in mind. But we do have
it
a date.
It has to be postmarked the 3rd.
Okay. All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about foods of Texas.
All right, here we go. Food and Texas.
You know, and all this Texas food cannot be duplicated. I mean, we started it. We own it, you know?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, when you think about it, Texas is different than any other place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say it's from Texas, they're not joking. It really is.
Yeah.
So the first one that I would talk about is chicken fried steak.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Chicken fried steak.
Love it.
Now, it came, where do you think chicken fried steak came from?
I don't know. I want to say Austin.
Austin?
I don't know. I randomly guessed.
The Germans and the Austrians, the immigrants, they brought it over here.
But they lived in Austin.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
And, you know, they say that Michelle McGlenn's, her recipe for chicken fried steak is famous, and that she's the one that really started it.
Hmm.
And I don't know if that's true, but they said rib sticking dishes is your chicken fried steak.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes slathered in cream gravy, made from drippings, and served with mashed potatoes. That'll make you hungry just,
I know,
you know, just hearing about it.
I'm just sitting here right now thinking I wish I had a plate of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now the slogan, don't mess with Texas.
Yeah.
It started as an anti-litter campaign.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now, I didn't know that.
And there's so much to love, they say, about our smokehouses, our barbecue, our Tex-Mex, and our bakeries. Mm-hmm. And Texas ranks second among the nation for cultural diversity.
Second?
Second. For cultural diversity. In other words, we have so many different kinds of food here, you know?
Hmm. So I'm a little offended. I think it should have been first.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And then you come, then I picked the ones that I think are really old-timey. Whataburger.
Oh.
If you remember, we did the story on Whataburger. Started in Corpus Christi.
Yes.
And, they said it's to Texas what In-N-Out Burger is to California.
Yes, but much bigger and much better.
Yeah, you cannot visit without making a stop at your old hamburger place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my word. Yeah.
And they said a Dr. Pepper shake goes with the hamburger. Can you imagine?
Oh, my word. You know what I like to do? I like to take a bite of a Whataburger hamburger and then take a little sip of like a chocolate milkshake from Whataburger and then like chew them together. Oh, it's delicious. It's magic. Mm.
Okay, next is a Frito pie.
Ooh.
And you know it's made with Frito corn chips, chili, onions, and cheese. And a lot of people eat it right from the bag.
Mmm, delicious.
And there's a debate between Texas and New Mexico. Who really started it? Well, we know darn well. According to Houstonia and the 2011 cookbook, Frito Pie Stories, it came from Texas, just like the book says.
It came from Austin, didn't it?
You want everything to come from Austin.
I'm trying.
And then the next thing is our iced tea.
Ooh.
You know, iced tea came from Texas. And they say it's not a drink, it's a culture in a glass.
Mm. I would agree with that. Yeah.
And a writer from West Virginia, and she's from Texas, Allison Glock, she says, everyone has an opinion on how best to make it and where best to drink it. Mm. Caffeine and sugar, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Or a little sugar. It's a glass of sugar with a little tea in it, if you make it right.
And according to Texas Heritage for Living, the oldest written recipe for sweet tea was published in Old Virginia, written by Texan Miriam Cable Tyree in 1879.
Really?
That's how far back our iced tea goes.
Wow.
1879. It was written in a book. How about that?
Huh. I didn't know that.
And then you've got to talk about red chili.
Mm.
And it says, whatever you do, don't place a bowl filled and put kidney beans in it.
No.
If you're a Texan, you know better.
Yeah. That's not real. That's not authentic. It's not right.
No. And it says, if you do, be prepared to fight.
Yeah.
Texans don't mess around when it comes to chili.
Mm-mm. No. We do everything better, including chili, especially when you have
and
a nice hearty bowl.
For the last 40 years, it's been the official state dish of Texas.
And it was created in Austin.
Chili is our state dish. You just add it to everything else.
I love it.
And of course, the Frito pies, you know, were very famous.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just sitting here. I'm thinking about all the things you can put a nice bowl of chili on. Hot dogs. You put a chili on hamburgers. You put a blop of like mashed potatoes on a plate. You throw a scoop of chili on top of it. I mean, there's just nothing that doesn't pair well with chili.
Well, they say a mysterious nun in Spain wrote down the first never to be found recipe, and then two Texas cowboys who need a hearty staple to sustain them, they claim they incarcerated in a Texas prison. And they said they started it out of necessity.
Really?
But they say the dish came to San Antonio with the migration of the Canary Island people.
Instead of San Antonio, I was going to guess it came to Austin.
I know, you think everything came to Austin. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I don't know, there's a lot wrong with it.
And then you've got the Czech Colossians.
Ooh.
And, you know, they came here many, many years ago, the Texas-Czech deal. It swept across central Texas. A lot of different bakeries and Czechs made this their main dish. And they knew pastry, and they did it, and they sweetened it or filled it with fruit, sausage, sauerkraut, and jalapeno cheese.
Oh,
now those Czechs
best.
Can flat cook, let me tell you.
Yeah. Didn't you do a story a couple years ago on trivia?
I did.
Yeah, I thought I remembered that.
Yeah.
Delicious. Oh, my word. Mm. We have the best
and
everything.
And the lady who her family did all this, Stanford was born and raised in Austin. And she did the Texas version of a kolache.
There you go. I knew something was
going
to be from
Austin. I knew
Austin.
You'd want to know that. And then you've got Texas toast. And it's so thick, you know, you can't put it in an average-sized toaster.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Now, the guy who says he started it was Royce Haley. He was manager of the pig stand in Beaumont.
Ooh.
He said he's the first one that did Texas toast. And at one time, he had 100 locations across Texas.
Really? That's a lot of locations.
And he went to the bread company that was sending him bread, and he said, I need some thicker bread out here at the pig stand. And he made fish and chips. And he said to the bread company, can you slice it different? And he wanted to butter both sides and pop it on the grill.
Mm.
Behold, Texas toast was born.
There you go. Oh, and the
and
fact
I
that it was on the grill.
Toast.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't get it everywhere.
No, you can't. Mm-mm. And
if they know how to do it on the grill, it is great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You ever made a grilled cheese sandwich on the grill, not like in a pan on the stove, but on the grill with Texas toast? That's delicious.
No, I don't think I ever tried it.
Oh, you should. Oh, wow. There's just nothing like that. And you put a big, thick thing of cheese in the middle of it on top of between the thick toast. Oh, you have to put it on the grill. That makes all the difference.
Okay, because I've been doing grilled cheese all my life, And I put two pieces on that.
Yeah. I mean, grilled cheese is great, but you put it on Texas toast with big bunches of cheese in the middle and then on a grill, you'll thank me. It's different. I can't explain
okay,
it.
Okay, I'll try it that way.
Oh,
now, the other one is queso.
Ooh.
I mean, nobody can do without their queso in Texas.
Mm-mm.
And it says if we didn't have all these milk-producing livestock like cows and goats, the Spanish conquistadors are the one that brought it over. Mm. And I guess they brought goats and cows, and they came from El Paso through Mexico. Mm. And they brought us the queso. Mm. So the Spanish conquistadors is the one that really brought this to us.
Mm. Delicious.
So they must have had the animals for the milk.
Mm. Wow. There's no. Sometimes I think I have queso in my veins just because it's delicious.
And then you've got pecan pie for Texas.
Oh!
First recipe, 1898.
Really? I thought pecan pie was kind of a new thing. Like the
not in Texas.
Early, you know, maybe 1900s, but I didn't realize back to before
and
the
do you know
century.
When K-Rose syrup started putting their product in the pie?
When?
1920.
See, now that's what I would have thought, like, pecan pie started. Interesting.
And in 2013, pecan pie became the official pie of Texas.
Oh, I didn't know we had an official pie, but it just makes me
we
more
do.
Prouder now.
We have everything official.
Yeah, we do. Oh, this and
now this is the last one I'm going to do.
All right.
The Texas funeral cake. The Texas funeral cake. I didn't know about this one. And it comes when a people's attending a funeral in Texas, they show up with these giant chocolate sheet cakes. They're topped with a thick layer of frosting and Texas-grown pecans. It's common tradition, so common. Everybody says it's a Texas funeral cake. Oh, my gosh.
It sounds delicious.
They use creamy buttermilk, gooey texture, decadent chocolate, and then they go and set it right beside the King Ranch chicken, the smoked brisket, and all these funeral foods, and they just poke holes in it. And the icing starts to melt down it, and it became a funeral cake.
Oh, my.
I wonder when they discovered the funeral cake.
I don't know.
I can't imagine, because I didn't even know we had a funeral cake in Texas, but we do.
I didn't know that either. But, boy, it is.
And all the small towns take it to the funerals.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing like. Now I know this is going to sound sick and demented, but there is nothing like a small community funeral because of all the food.
You're right about that.
People
they
burn.
Are wonderful. Now, those women turn out, and they put the food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not anything even better. And the other thing they'll do, not at a funeral, but other deals, they'll bring five kinds of homemade ice cream.
Yes. Oh.
And they put the little gunny sacks over it and the ice.
Oh, my word.
And it sits there till it's ready.
Yeah. Wow.
Man, oh, man.
Mm. You gather it like the community center and everybody has all the dishes and the food. I mean, yeah.
They
it's
do. And everybody knows which lady can cook and what she can cook.
Oh, yeah. They're requested for the same dishes most of the time. Hey, will
that's
you
right.
make your whatever, and will you make your whatever you make? Because they're the experts. I mean, it's
and they know which makes good casseroles. They always have a lot of casseroles.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have every kind of pie in the world and every kind of salad.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Makes me want to go to somebody's little community deal and join them.
I know. I've thought about funeral crashing before just for the food.
I had too, but what if they ask us how we knew that person?
We'll make something up.
Oh, okay. Just tell them, you know, we couldn't just say we were passing through town.
No, that generally doesn't
that
work.
That would be so funny.
Yeah, we're just passing
They'd
through.
They'd look at us like we're crazy.
Smelled all the food, saw all the gallery, and we thought we'd just jump in.
We just thought we'd stop by and say howdy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't do that. But odds are you don't know everybody there, and not everybody would know everybody attending. So it's perfect. You don't even have to know anybody. You don't have to be a guest of somebody or a, you know, on the bride or the groom's side. It's a funeral. It's kind of like,
I'll tell you what,
funeral.
I'll send you first. If it works, then I'll do it.
Yeah. Thanks.
I mean, you know, if you don't get shot, I'll try.
If I don't get shot or end up in jail, then it's all yours.
Right.
Wow.
I'll eat all the funnel cake.
Oh. Oh, that's the best. Oh, my word. Yeah, I know that sounds sick and twisted, but yeah, funeral foods is some of the best ever.
It is. And what are we going to do when all these women die out?
I don't know.
I guarantee there'll be no one to take their place.
There won't, because these recipes are not being passed down to the next
generation. They're not.
It's a shame, too.
And you can tell if it's a good book. It's got oil stains all over it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if it looks new, don't touch it.
No. Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Now I want to go through the Saturday paper and just see if there's anybody.
See who's died? Oh, no.
And it's
your fault. Oh, my gosh. If everybody's listening to us, somebody will be looking around the corner.
Yeah.
Did they dare show up?
Yeah. And you'll get a call on Monday, I'm sure.
Say, Faye, was that you over there in the corner?
Oh, wow. Oh, my word. All right, before we wrap up, excuse me, when we're thinking about a life settlement, we've talked about all the wonderful things with the investment. There are two risks that people need to know, and we need to squeeze this in, risks and accreditation. What are they?
Okay. The biggest risk is it could go over. If it goes over, you need to know what the premiums are, and is it consistent? That's important. The other thing, remember, it is not available to cash in until it matures. The other thing is you must be accredited to do this. That means you must make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your house.
And for the, because I know you've got some great policies that you're filling on Monday. And so for maybe a new investor who wanted to get in on these, how long would it take for them to get set up, get ready to go? And
probably about 7 days.
Oh, that's not long at all. That's pretty great.
No, we've got it about down now.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, you do have several policies on the table right now. You'll be filling those next week. So if anybody is interested, they can go ahead and call you. And one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.